This is Carl the Jackal Frampton.
Hi, this is David Healy.
Hello, this is Stephen Ferris.
Hi, I'm Bethany Ferris.
My name is Shola Amiobi.
I'm Jonas Gutierrez.
Hi, this is Harry Kuehl.
You're listening to The Score.
The Score with Michael Clark.
Hello and welcome along to The Score with me, Michael Clark. Here's what's coming up on this week's programme. Warren Feeney is out, and it's time for divine intervention at Glentoran. Declan Devine, that is. He's the new caretaker manager at the Oval. He's on the programme today. We will also be hearing from the assistant manager of Carrick Rangers, Scott Irvine. He's a Dungannon Swifts fan this weekend, I think it's fair to say. And as well as that, we will be joined by journalist Mark McIntosh as he helps us round up some of the big talking points in the Northern Ireland Football League. And we'll be previewing the international fixtures that Northern Ireland have ahead of them, starting with Romania away tonight. It's all coming up right here on The Score.
The Score with Michael Clark.
Well, we are starting the show this week with the big story. Everyone was talking about it last weekend. Warren Feeney departing as Glentoran manager. And then the following day, the news came out. They have a new caretaker boss, very well known to Glentoran fans and indeed fans across football in Northern Ireland, in the shape and form of Declan Devine. He was at Stangmore Park last weekend watching his new players as they went and performed in a 3-0 win against Dungannon Swifts. He is preparing for his first game this weekend in charge proper. And he is on the programme now. Decky, how are you?
I'm good, Michael. I'm good. Been busy week, to say the least, but ultimately it's been a very enjoyable few days and we made really extremely well welcome, as Glentoran do. I'm so really pleased to be here, but not here for pats on the back or not here for anything other than trying to have a successful run on towards the end of the season.
Talk me through that week for you, because you leave Bowes. When does the phone call come? Who does it come from? And when do you actually say yes?
Listen, I've been involved in the game for a long time, but as you say, it was certainly a strange week because I was all in terms of Bowes. Worked extremely hard in the off-season to strengthen the squad. We were very unfortunate down there to lose a couple of players, big players, with cruciate knee ligament injuries, and then obviously a top goal scorer from last year was sold. So there was a lot of recruiting and there was a lot of work to be done in the off-season. One of our games was called off, and then we went to a Dublin derby on Friday night, and it was fine margins. We didn't do a lot wrong in the game, give away a penalty in the 82nd minute. And ultimately, it cost me job. I got a phone call on the Sunday to say that they were terminating my deal, and that was fine because the one thing that football has always taught me is to make sure you look in the mirror. I look in the mirror, and I knew that I put everything in there. We were bouncing the ball away from winning the cup last season. With three games to go, we were 2 points off second and missed out on Europe. So there was that feeling that we kind of underachieved last year, but I was still really surprised on Sunday when I got the phone call. But look, being about long enough and big enough and ugly enough to understand that's the nature of the game. I took my medicine on Sunday. It was hurting, and then during the course of the week, as I always do, I reflect on the job that I was doing. Spoke to a lot of people I respect in the game, and there was absolutely no plans in place anywhere or thoughts. I was getting ready to probably take a bit of a break and go on holidays for a week or two, and then on the Friday, I got a phone call in the afternoon, late afternoon. It was a pretty much quick phone call from a member of the board. I'll not discuss who it was, but it was a member of the board. And for me, it was a very quick phone call. It was like, would you be interested? Of course I'd be interested. You don't say no to Glentoran, and whether that's for a week, whether that's for a month, whether that's for a year, it's absolutely irrelevant. And it works for me. I've been on the training pitch all my life, and with 6 or 7 weeks to go at a massive club like this, when you're given an opportunity, then that's all I'm looking at. I'm just looking at coming in, giving a hand, giving me knowledge, and what I have always done is work as hard as I possibly can. And extremely proud, as I say, even to walk out at the Oval this week as the manager of the club, it'll be an extremely proud moment for me. But not here, as I say, for egotistical reasons. We're here to try and win football games, and that ultimately is the most important thing.
Was there any part of your brain going, is it too soon? Would I not like a little sunshine break, get the feet up, recharge, all the rest of it? Because football does take its toll, Decky, and I don't need to tell you that.
No, it does. And listen, it's intense. I work intensely. I always try and make sure that when I put my heart and soul into something, I give everything of myself, and that's all I have ever done in all my life, all my career. But as I say, look, there's a lot of time for putting the feet up. I feel I have a lot to offer the game. I've got a huge experience in the game. I love the game. I love preparing teams. I love working with good players. I love working with good people. And in return, all I ask for is honest, and be honest and express your talent and show people the quality that the teams I have worked with possess. So absolutely no need for a break. Obviously down below in the League of Ireland, it was the very beginning of the season. So as I say, I'm fresh, I'm ready to go, and I look forward to the challenges over the coming weeks.
And you'll undoubtedly know the backdrop of where the club are at the moment, and the fact that, you know, so many supporters clubs, 16, came out and said this club needs root and branch change. How much of that do you think you're going to be able to oversee, and immediately have you had to bring about any changes yourself?
I think first and foremost, let's not get away from the point that there's pressure at every club. There's pressure. Don't think that Glentoran's the only team in the world here. I've worked at big clubs all my life. There's always noise in terms of supporters wanting more, and rightly so. But for me, my remit is to come in, try and galvanise the players, try and get them on side, try and get them working hard, try and get as many results. Glentoran have a lot of good people at the football club. A lot of good people, and I know how passionate the fans are. I know how demanding the fans are, but that you can't just solely put that on Glentoran's door. That's at every big club in every country, right throughout the world. People want success. People demand success. And for me, the biggest picture of it all is making sure that you go to the next game and give everything of yourself. And there's a lot to play for, Michael. There's a lot to play for here. I look at a lot of the players that's within this group, and it was one of the main reasons that I felt that this could be a good end of the season. There's no guarantees, but the one thing that you have here at Glentoran Football Club is an outstanding panel of young players, and players that have been around at the highest level. You know, there's a lot of talent here. You've good young players coming through. You know, there's a lot of players here that will also be hurting. Players don't want to be here in the flack, and players don't want to be, you know, coming off the pitch and not feeling that unity. So I know there's a lot of talent here, and all I'm asking for between now and the end of the season is for that talent to work as hard as they possibly can, and they just go about their jobs in the most professional possible manner.
For any of the Irish League supporters, the Glentoran fans that maybe haven't seen how you have approached things at, say, Bohemian or indeed before at Derry City, what would you say, you know, a Declan Devine team looks like? How are you going to set these guys up? I'm not saying you're going to give your 1-11 here for Jim Irvine's benefit, but what style of football are you hoping to bring?
Well, I think, first of all, you know, I want players to work hard. I want players to work hard. Is there going to be a magic wand this week? Absolutely not. There was no magic wand last week. Good players won the game last week. Good people won the game last week. And I'll be looking for the same in terms of the intensity. I'll be looking for the same in terms of their comfortability on the ball, be expressive when we can, but also being able to dig in and make sure that we become... First thing is, when you set up a team, is to become hard to beat. That's the most important. It's just part and parcel. Nobody wants to lose games, but you also have to try and win games. You have to try and play on the front foot. We have to be expressive in the way we go about our jobs and encourage good players to go and perform. So I always believe that my teams work extremely hard. I always believe that my teams have attacking threats on it. And with the players at my disposal here, that's the way I want to go between now and the end of the season. But there's no guarantees. You know, anything can happen. We got to just make sure that the stuff that we work on a weekly basis, and we continue to try and improve. That's it's going to be a very short window here over the next 6-7 weeks, but there's absolutely huge games coming our way, and you have to be ready for them. You have to be prepared on the training pitch on a weekly basis, but also when the games do come along, not let them pass you by, and make sure that you go out and give absolutely everything of yourself to get the favourable result.
And everyone's looking at next weekend. I know you'll say, you know, first things first, and I understand that, but the Irish Cup semi-final, when you talk about things to play for, a game against Linfield with the potential of an Irish Cup final, and understanding that winning the Irish Cup, as you have done indeed as a player for Glentoran, leads to European competition and everything that can bring, it is such a crucial time for your players, and obviously now yourself as well, as part of this project.
Absolutely, and it's certainly something that they should look forward to. But you are right, for Saturday's most important because it's the next one, but there'll be no stone unturned in terms of trying to make sure that we perform. They don't come any bigger. It doesn't come any bigger. A big two clash is massive at the best of times. You add on the incentive of getting the Irish Cup final, you add on the incentive of European qualification. But it's a game that, as I say, look, we will be on every day next week. We'll prepare the best way we possibly can. But again, you know, we got to get Saturday. We got to try and go on to that game in a positive frame of mind. The players this week have been outstanding after a really good performance in Dungannon. So we want to try and you know, build about a momentum now as well. This week we want to play well, we want to send our supporters home happy, we want the players to go home happy, and then, you know, obviously the not only just the semi-final, but like when you go into the split, you've got the best five teams in the country to play against. You have hopefully playoffs, then they may be challenged for Europe. So as I say, every game has to be treated with the utmost respect, and make sure that we don't let it pass us by, and that we enjoy that. Players have worked extremely hard, Michael, to get to this stage in their career where they're at a huge football club, and you don't want the huge games to pass you by. So embrace it, enjoy it, and give everything of yourself. It's the most important message for myself.
And in terms of some of the other things, you know, people are looking from the outside in and going, will you be the man to try and help convince people to sign new contracts or to recommend the club changes that need to be made? There's been so much speculation about the future of several key players, with, you know, deals to be done or not this summer.
Listen, I will be giving my advice on what I see and what I do. There's a lot of people here at the club that know the DNA of the club. They know what's expected, and there's a lot of work. I have seen it firsthand this week. There is a huge amount of work going on behind the scenes. I have pretty much enough on my plate at this moment in time, in terms of course I want to keep the best players at Glentoran, irrelevant of who the manager is. I'm sure there'll be a lot of discussions over the coming weeks in terms of the direction that the club are going, but I'm here for the here and now. I'm here to make sure that the players are happy in their working environment. I'm making sure that the players are working hard in their working environment, and I want to just get the best out of what's at my disposal for here and now. But again, look, I have a lot of experience, I have a lot of knowledge, I have a lot of contacts, I know how recruitment works, I know how building a squad works, but I will give absolutely everything of ounce of myself in terms of what I know and what I foresee happening in the future, potentially with players that are out of contract. I will certainly not be holding back my opinions, but there's a lot of people pulling in the one direction, which might not come across outside to the actual workings on a daily basis here. I've been very impressed with the level of people here at the club that's working extremely hard. They try and put things right, and it can still finish very, very much on the right foot, because, as I say, it's a here and now, and the amount of quality that's in that changing room downstairs has really impressed me over the last three or four days.
I know you're a man that backs yourself, and I can hear the enthusiasm you have here, and I also have been listening and reading to what other people affiliated to Glentoran down through the years have said. Your old teammate Colin Nixon says you're the man for the job. Scott Young was talking about, you know, not only is he a more than a decent appointment, he's someone that'll fancy himself to continue beyond the summer. You know, should we not kid ourselves here? You're bound to think, if I do the job that I believe I can do, they have to consider me after the season's over.
Look, again, it's been a hectic week. Is the Glentoran job that's appealing? Absolutely, of course it is. Well, I haven't even had time to blink, really, Michael. And as I say, it works for all parties at the moment, because like this time 2 weeks ago, I was living in Dublin. I was working every hour God sends in terms of trying to prepare a team. And at the minute, all I'm doing is giving everything of myself for the here and now. I never fall out with my previous clubs. I've never fallen out of Derry, Dunfermline, Ipswich Town, Bohemians. I just give everything of myself, and that's all I'll be doing over the course of the next 6-7 weeks. And we'll sit down and review and reflect. And if things happen, things happen. If they don't happen, I'm the first. I have absolutely zero expectation coming under this job, other than giving everything of myself to try and help in terms of finishing with a positive end of the season. I haven't got time to think of anything else, to be honest. But is it a job that everybody should want? Absolutely. You know, people go and get their pro licenses and spend a lot of money and a lot of time to be involved in the game. This is the top end of the game at this club. This is the top end of Irish football. And of course it's appealing to a lot of people, but at the minute I genuinely, honestly can only tell you that the next 7 or 8 weeks is all I'm looking at, Michael.
And just before I let you go, I really appreciate you doing this for me this week, with everything that's going on at the moment. I know it's been crazy for you. I was sitting and watching some old videos on YouTube of that Irish Cup run all the way to the final in 1996, because I was 6 years old. I don't have fantastic memory of watching the highlights that night or anything. I certainly knew the stories from it. I was looking at your very young face. I was also looking at, you know, Liam Coyle, a man we both know very well. He'd scored in the semi-final replay. I'm just wondering what your memories are of particularly that run to the Irish Cup win against Glen Avon, but your time as a whole with the club as a player, the 2 seasons you spent there, how do you look back on it?
Very, very fondly, and I've said that this quite publicly even before. Over the course of years, I've always spoken very positively of that time, because it was, I had left Ipswich Town, I came back, I played for Omagh, won Young Player of the Year, was on the league, and then transferred to Glentoran, and it was a shock to the system, the magnitude of the club, the standard of player, the amount of supporters, big two games, everything that came with it. But what is the lasting memory of that was the actual playing staff and what it meant and what they gave, and, you know, never felt beaten, gave everything of themselves. It was some tough times as well, but there was a real unity at that time, because the fans understood that you know, people like Andy Matheson, you know, Dan Parker, Gary Smith, people like that, John Devine, you know, Trevor Smith, Justin McBride, you know, Michael Smith, Colin Nixon, Leeper, you know, people understood when they went out on that pitch on a Saturday that they could play, but they also, if you needed to dig in and you needed somebody on the trenches with you, that there was people there that would give you a real dig out. And, you know, many a time the football then probably wasn't as technical as what it is now, but we had certainly, with people like Glenn Little, Liam Coyle, as you spoke about, Josh McBride, Trevor Smith, a lot of talent in our group, but we also had people like Ben, Chris Walker, that if you wanted a fight, you got your fight. And there was a real unity within the team. There was a real togetherness within the team and with the supporters getting behind them, because they knew that everything would be left out there. And that's what my lasting memory was. Didn't matter if it was winning the Irish Cup or if it was you were 1-0 down, you always believed, with everybody pulling in the one direction, you'd get back into things and had a chance, because of the magnitude of the person, the team and the club. You really felt that anything was possible. And that day in the Cup Final, was very fine margin in the Cup Final, and it took an absolute bit of brilliance from Glenn Little, they won it, but My memory of that time was a tough time, but you knew that everybody had each other's backs, and as I say, it was something that had stayed with me for a long time, because when you give everything of yourself, I believe anything's possible.
And there is something about walking into a ground, especially when you've such fond memories of them, where you, it kind of all just comes back. Was there a bit of that this week when you were walking in, kind of going, oh my goodness, I've been transported here back a few years?
It certainly was, but look, I'm not here to reminisce, I'm not here to think back. I've plenty of time like for that whenever I put my feet up at the end of my career. It is, as I said at the start, it's an honour to be in this seat, but it's something that, you know, when you sit in the chair that I'm sitting at the minute, you've got to make sure that you give everything, you've got to make sure that, you know, it's not taken for granted. I've walked in, I love this place, as a lot of people do that have been here in the past, but it's all about the here and now, and no real time to reflect, but it's about the here and now, and making sure that we give a good performance and a good account of ourselves come Saturday, Michael.
Decky, really appreciate you coming on to the programme. Great to hear your thoughts, and best of luck for the weeks and months ahead, whatever they may bring.
Absolutely, I really appreciate it, Michael, and thank you.
The Score with Michael Clark.
Okay, so that was the new Glentoran manager, Declan Devine. He is their number one for now, at least, and we'll see what happens in the summer. We're now going to hear from the assistant manager of Carrick Rangers in the number two role, I guess you could say. But, I mean, he stepped into number one so many times, hasn't he, for Stuart King? What a great double act they have been. And Carrick Rangers hoping that they can continue their good form to end this season on a high. Scott Irvine, first time on the programme, believe it or not. Great to have you on.
Thanks for having me, Michael.
Really good to be talking to you. And you know, this season that Carrick are having, last year everyone was talking about their best ever season in the Premiership, and you're on course to better that again. You must be really pleased.
Yeah, obviously we're delighted, and in the same breath slightly disappointed that we haven't got other results that maybe we feel we should have got. But yeah, if we'd have been given this chance at the start of the season, we'd have bitten your arm off for it. And kind of from Christmas time, it was get to the last day before the split, still with a chance of finishing in the top six. So the players have definitely delivered on that one. And yeah, it's now about just kicking on again, and as you say, trying to beat our record from last year and just keep improving the club.
Football is so much about perspective. I thought Dean Smith, the Loch Awe boss, said it really well on the programme last week. He said, we all get greedy in football, and we are all guilty of it. No matter how well you're doing, you just want a wee bit more, don't you?
Absolutely. And I think as soon as you stop doing that, you're in the wrong profession. So it's a great position for us to be in, considering where we were when we took over. The first aim there is to stay in the league, and now that we've guaranteed that, we just want to keep kicking on. And it's funny, Michael, because even after a win, you don't really get to enjoy it. You almost have that moment of relief, and then it's on to your next one. So it's a crazy sport. It does mad things to your mind, but it's great to be a part of.
And a game that you know, the last couple of games maybe sum it all up, don't they, in terms of winning against Ballymena United in pleasing fashion, but the game before that against Newry City, the disappointment and not taking anything away from Newry, such an important result for them in the context of what they're trying to do and their fight to stay up. But at home, you look at that, you get those points, you'd be looking at the games this weekend ahead of Corrin rather than behind them.
And even before that game, the Loch Awe game, when we're 3-1 up, and I keep saying this, another 5 minutes in that game, I think we would have lost that game from being in such a comfortable position to just being happy to leave with a point. And even a game or two before that, the Cliftonville, where they've scored in the last minute, I thought we deserved a point out of that game. But on the flip side of that, Michael, there's games where we've been behind against Glentoran twice and three times actually, and come back and got results. So there's those games where you're not really expected to get anything from. Linfield away at Windsor, where we've come back and got a point there or two. So it kind of evens itself out. But yeah, the Newry game in particular is going to be one I think we'll look back on and hopefully not regret.
This weekend, you're not in action. You have to wait now until Easter Tuesday for your game against Linfield. Will you be putting yourself through it? Will you be taking a trip up to Coleraine to watch their game against Dungannon Swifts and asking the Swifts for a favour? Or what are your weekend plans?
I think the wife has me decorating, Michael, unfortunately. So I'll have the radio on. And just be hoping for the result that we need. I don't think if I can put myself through it, to be honest. it's a weekend off, and I'm going to take advantage of it. So, and just fingers crossed, Dungannon can go and get a result for us.
They might need to move that bucket of paint if there's a Coleraine goal.
Absolutely, there'll be a row in the house no matter what. But if Dungannon get a result, then the paint might be a wee bit better.
Looking at, I said it right at the beginning, you know, the double act that you and Stuart King are, you played with each other, of course, when you were at Larne, so, you know, that's a relationship that's certainly been there for years. But what is it like working with him? Because you two, I think it's really interesting dynamic watching you bounce off one another. You know, it can be hugs and kisses, and occasionally it can be raised voices, but you know, it's always for the betterment of the club.
Yeah, there's times we actually do bounce off each other physically, but no, Stuart's fantastic. He's, as you've said there, we've played together, and there's things that have gone on in my life, obviously, with my injury, and Stuart was a massive part of that. He offered his home to my family when I was in hospital, and his character's second to none. He's a great fella, and somebody who I trust with my life. So he took a massive risk. I know the club took a risk giving us the opportunity, but Stuart himself took a massive risk bringing me in, Michael, because a young manager going in, you're nearly thinking that he's going to bring an experienced assistant in, and he went the other way. He trusted me, and we see football the same way, and we very rarely disagree on things, and when we do, it's for the better of the team. So it's been a great partnership so far, and hopefully it can continue on. But he's just so passionate. He's a winner. He's current. He's just everything you see with Stuart is there, and it's he wears his heart on his sleeve, and there's no back doors with him. So so far so good.
Occasionally this season that's meant you've had to step in and be the manager on the weekends, including recently. What is that like when you're in that position? Does it feel any different, or is it just a case of he's not sitting beside you in the dugout?
It does and it doesn't, Michael. I'm comfortable doing it. But I think it's good to have Stuart beside me, and I think Stuart will say the same, vice versa, that we can bounce ideas off each other, and one set of eyes might see something that the others don't. So as I say, it's worked to this point, and don't get me wrong, I enjoy doing it, but I would rather do it with him by my side, and being able to bounce ideas off each other, and because there's throughout a game there's loads of things that we'll suggest, and the other one will bat away or back up. So it's I prefer working with him than without him.
And when you talk about that horrible injury you suffered, I presume most people listening would know, but in case they don't, you had what, you know, it was an absolute horror, crash into a wall at Inver Park, fractured your skull. It's incredible that it's 9 years ago now. You know, I mean, next year is 10 years from that happening.
Yeah, it's madness, Michael, to be honest, and it's hard to believe it's been 10 years. So, but it is what it is. It's kind of forced me into the role I'm in now, and can't say I'm happy that it's happening, but it's just a part of my life, and we're out the other side of it, thankfully, and I'm currently enjoying what I'm doing, although nothing beats playing in my opinion. But where I'm at now is probably the closest thing to it.
And in terms of the potential within this team, people will naturally wonder, even if top six doesn't happen this weekend, how much of a fight can you give to finish in seventh spot, to put yourself in a European playoff and then see where things go?
Yeah, well, it's the old cliche of just taking a game at a time, and that'll be the approach. You touched on it there. We have a really good group, honest, really together. They're fighting for each other. I said it last week that everybody's singing off the hymn sheet, and that's definitely the case. Everyone wants to just keep progressing the football club, and they all want to be a part of Carrick's history. I know myself and Stuart want to get as many points as we can, and in 10 years time, if we're the managing duo that have Carrick's most points, then happy days. But it's just about steady progress for us, and we literally will take each game at a time and see where it gets us. But yeah, we've put together a really good group of lads first and foremost, and the quality is now showing and on the pitch. So long may it continue, Michael.
What's the key component, do you think, to keep this moving in that positive direction? Is it, you know, trying to find more younger players to come through? Is it adding more experienced heads? Because you certainly have a bit of both, but what do you see, you know, being the magic recipe if you are going to achieve the things that you aspire to achieve?
It's hard to identify just one thing, Michael, but people first. Having that good changing room is massive. So a lot of our signings will be based on their personality. We've been close to signing other players who just weren't the right fit, and it's getting players in the changing room that are all rowing in the same direction. And as you have said, if we can have that mixture of youth and experience, and it's a really good recipe for success, because you've young lads who are thriving to catch up with the senior players, and then it keeps the senior players on their toes, and they have to deliver and have to keep guiding them and keep impressing the younger lads. And then you, from there, then it's just about players keeping their shirts, and the better quality that we can bring into the football club, then the more competition there is. So we've been very fortunate each year that we've made really good signings that have raised their levels. Our first season, obviously Jim and Koosh joining the club, and then we've just tried to do that every single season. So this summer will be the same approach, where we'll go and identify where we can improve, and we'll try and get the right people. Not always just the best footballers, the right person in their group, and we'll just keep trying to build on what we've done so far.
It wasn't that long ago that if you were to say to a Carrick Rangers supporter, you're going to have the options that you do, you know, in attack or even just across the team, like Andy Mitchell being in your midfield with David Cushley, having Curtis Allen up front, with, you know, Danny, James Thielen coming in, players of that ilk, the experience at the back of your Albert Watsons. Carrick fans probably would have thought, well, maybe we'll get one or two of those players, but not all at the same time.
Yeah, there's times myself and Stuart are pinching ourselves in change rooms when we look around it. The experience in that change room now is ridiculous. Boys who have been there and done it, thousands of Irish League games. And it's great for young lads like young BBR and Curtis Forsyth and all the under-20s players who are trying to break through. It's brilliant because they can just get advice from senior players. Like, as you've mentioned, there, our front line of Ned, James Thielen, Curtis Allen, Emmett McGugan. But I don't recall a Carrick squad having such riches. Danny, obviously, who's been phenomenal this season. So it's brilliant. It's great to have. Gives you headaches, obviously, having to leave such talent out at times. But that's how that's how you become successful. And to be fair, our group have been outstanding so far with very few huffers, and when they do it in the right way. So it's a great change room to be around. I love it, and as I say, long may it continue, Michael.
And in terms of your coaching journey, well, as far as Carrick Rangers concerned, it was, what, 2017 you came in as the under-20s manager. You brought through some great players. You know, what has your... How would you describe your coaching path to date? I'm sure it's been a steep learning curve all the way along, because, you know, the club have really backed you.
Yeah, no, the club have been fantastic. And I have to give a special mention to Stephen Seaton, who's working alongside Jim Mervyn at Ballymena. Steph took a chance on me with County Antrim team, the junior squad, and I'd worked briefly with him at Lauren under Davy McLendon, and he obviously, when he heard I was retiring, gave me a call and asked me to come up and take a session. That was the first session I took, Michael, and I'll be honest with you, I was petrified, and I was taking 15-year-olds. The best quality in the country at the time, County Antrim had the best players, and I remember that first session like it was yesterday. I was sweating, it was a bag of nerves, but it went really well. And I worked that summer in the Super Cup, and thankfully we went on to win it 2 years on the bounce, and came really close in the third season. So I did that alongside the under-20s, and it was massive for me, Michael, because it meant that the players who was working with the County Antrim had developed relationships with them, and some of them ended up coming to Carrick, and as you say, some of them then kicked on and played in the first team. So it's ran alongside each other lovely. And then COVID hit, and the under-20s had to stop playing. It was only senior football at the time with no fans. And I'll be honest, Michael, it was kind of at that stage I came to a wee bit of a crossroads, because I'd done my years of development football, and felt that I wanted to be in the kind of results business, if that makes sense. And I was exploring options elsewhere, because I felt I needed to go and coach in the first team somewhere. So and then obviously Stuart come in, and everything's just kicked on from there. So yeah, the club have been fantastic with me. I must be doing something right for them to keep me from 2017. So, and I aim to be there for a long time since. So yeah, just keep building me up.
Do you ever remind Stuart that technically you were the manager before him, because you were the interim?
I was the interim, and we get chinned in both games, so don't bring that up, Michael. I remember the first game against Glenavon, I was 2-0 up after an hour, and I thought I was like, this is easy. And then I think Gary made a couple of changes, and we get beat 6-3, so it wasn't one to remember. So no, I don't bring that up too often.
No, in fairness, when you put it like that, it's probably wise.
Have the day to forget.
Long term, I know you've got the great working relationship you have now as an assistant manager with your manager and Stuart King and your close friend. Is it something that one day, whether it's 5 years from now or whatever, you might take the next step and be a manager? Or do you think assistant manager is your sweet spot? Is this what you want to do?
I honestly don't know, Michael. It's not something I sit and think about. It's not something I have to be a manager, or I want to be a manager. Where I am at the minute, and as you've said, really good relationship, myself and Stuart, and to date it's worked. So I've no real desire, I've no urge to go and do it. I'm not saying to Stuart I need to get a first team job somewhere else, or That's definitely not the case. I'm happy where I am. I love my role at the club. Sturdy leaves people out, and at times it might be my call, or I'll maybe suggest it. Sturdy has to let them know, so they fall out with him, and I'm pally with him, so I get the best of both worlds. But yeah, honestly, it's not something to think about. Later down the line, that may change, but where I'm at present, with my family, everything's going well, and I'm happy where I'm at, and I'm happy to assist Stuart and keep building the club.
Well, as you alluded to, you know, from some really difficult times in your life with your injury and what happened, it's amazing how you've turned it into such a positive. Not everyone is able to do that. You know, you've kept yourself in football, and you haven't just kept yourself in football, you've made a really positive impact to the stage where you've been at a club for such a long time, and they're a club that's doing well. So that's something to be really proud of. I know you're not going to sit and pat yourself on the back today, Scott, but, you know, maybe in the summer you can sit and reflect on that, or maybe in years to come you'll be able to.
Yeah, maybe when I start, Michael. I've never been one to sit and look back. Obviously, my injury was different because it was beyond football. I came through things that kind of took me way out of my comfort zone. And I had to dig deep. But again, I've come through that, and I'm in a good place. And I'm honoured to be a part of the club for so long. It's great that the club have trusted me to be a part of their club and look after their young players, and now look after their senior players. And genuinely honoured to be a part of it and enjoy it. It has its moments, but I don't ever dread going to football. I love it. So yeah, I'll maybe look back when I'm done. That's maybe when I'll have a moment to reflect. But at the minute, it's now just trying to learn. And we're both still young coaches, and we are going to make mistakes. And it's now just learning and trying to build on what we've done. And yeah, I'm not that type of person, Michael. I'll just keep working away and keep trying to improve.
It's a great way to be. It's lovely catching up with you and having you on the programme this week. Thank you so much for coming on, Scotty.
Yeah, brilliant, Michael. Thanks for having me.
The Score with Michael Clark.
Now, we have not forgotten about the international action, which is taking place. Northern Ireland playing later on tonight away to Romania, and indeed in a few days' time they have Scotland to face as well. Joining us on the programme to help us look ahead to those games and discuss some matters in Irish League football circles as well is friend of the show and journalist Mark McIntosh. Mark, how are you?
I'm good, Michael. How are you?
I'm doing the very best. Thank you so much for coming on to the programme. And look, before we get into Northern Ireland and our thoughts on these upcoming friendly games, we heard on the programme earlier on from Declan Devine, the new manager, the caretaker manager of Glentoran. It's been a pretty crazy number of days for him and for Glentoran Football Club. I just wanted to ask you on the other side of things about Warren Feeney and his departure. What have you made about how this has all panned out?
Look, I don't think there was any great shock when the news came through that Warren was leaving the club. And if I'm being really honest, I felt a bit of relief for him. It's been very clear since day one that it was never going to properly work out for him. I don't think Warren could have done anything to get the vast majority of Glentoran fans on his side. I think how it all panned out in the end was a bit distasteful. But look, listen, a lot of times when managers leave, it's never done in a nice way, and it can't really be a nice way of doing things. But the Glentoran are just a club that need everyone singing off the same hymn sheet right now. And unfortunately for them, you know, I think a lot of people have said this for years, and it never actually seems to happen. And, you know, Declan Devine has come in, as you've said. You know, he's going to be the fourth manager since Ali Poor took over the club. Now, some people might not think that's a massive amount, but you know, Glentoran's biggest rivals, you know, always have been Linfield. I think Linfield have had six managers since 1975. So how can Glentoran ever be built for success when they're constantly chopping and changing? And Warren's just the latest one. And even the fact that brought Declan Devine until the end of the season, you know, I understand why they do that, you know, maybe to steady the ship, but again, it just leaves so much more uncertain around that job.
And that is why supporters clubs have started asking questions, and I know individually fans will say we've been making this point more than just recently, about those above the manager's position, about Paul Miller and the role that he has, about other people in influential positions, and ultimately Ali Poor.
Yeah, and look, I think since Ali Poor came into the club, there's been a, you know, it's not necessarily secrecy, but no one really seems to know what Ali wants out of it. You know, is it purely just he wants to build the club up back to their previous success? You know, does he want to leave a lasting legacy of a new ground? You know, I don't think people really understand what Ali wants from this, and I think supporters are kind of at the end of their tether now. You know, look, you can't get away from the fact that without Ali Poor, Glentoran would have been in a horrendous position, you know, 5 years ago. There's no getting away from that. But there's a lot of discontent. You know, Paul Miller's position has certainly been questioned by fans in recent times, and I know even after Warren Feeney left the club last week, I was at Stanmore Park last week, and there were a few chants about getting Paul Miller out of the club. And look, while that's happening, it doesn't really build any sort of foundation for success. And the time has come when supporters, board members, everyone has to get together, because ultimately they should all want the same thing, and that's a successful Glentoran. But while things are keep going the way they are right now, that's just never going to be happening in a sustainable way.
And is your gut telling you that they have somebody lined up in the summertime? You know, that people will wonder, what is this caretaker manager's thing about? Is it because there's somebody else hanging around waiting to take over the reins at the end of the season?
That would make sense if you had a manager who was maybe looking at signings and if they knew they were coming in. But I generally don't think that's the way it is at the moment. I think Declan Devine has been brought in to steady the ship. They know he can come in and probably hit the ground running. But I don't think they have identified one particular person to take the job after Declan Devine. And look, if Declan goes and wins the Irish Cup, why wouldn't they offer him the gig, you know? And why wouldn't he want it? You know, it would be a hard thing for him to turn down on a longer-term basis, I'm sure. But there just seems to be so much... Well, there's obviously speculation because it happens everywhere, but, you know, a lot of Glentoran fans made it very clear that they wanted Paddy McLaughlin. Now, Paddy's stock is still very high in the Irish League, and rightly so. But Paddy left Derry City, you know, probably before Christmas. So if Glentoran had really wanted Paddy McLaughlin, why would they not have gone out and appointed him right now? So he can make the decisions about players' futures. He can make the decisions about people he wants to bring in. I just think if it was going to be Paddy McLaughlin, it would have happened by now. Now, I could be totally wrong, but it just seems a very strange way to go about things if they've already lined somebody up.
And we did get opinion on the programme last week about this, and in case anyone hasn't heard it as well, with Declan Cadell coming in, Crusaders are keen to hold back in Declan doing interviews about being the manager until Stephen Baxter's tenure has ended, out of respect for him. But we have asked our guests about that appointment. It's a big job to be his first job. He knows the club very well. What's your reading on that situation?
Look, I think it's easy for people maybe to point the finger and say it's the easy option for the Crews, or it's a cheap option, or it's, you know, not really thinking outside the box. Yes, people will level that at them. I actually think it could be a shrewd appointment because, you know, the Crews are in a transitional period after Stephen Baxter leaves. You know, there's a lot of players getting to the tail end of their careers, and I think someone like Declan, who knows the club inside out, knows the players inside out, I think it's going to be crucial. And more importantly, when you're going through transition, there's going to be some hard days ahead probably, and Declan Cadell is going to get the benefit of the doubt. He's got a lot of credit in the bank, and rightly so. And, you know, he was a great player for the club. I think he was a very underrated player throughout his Irish League career. And I wouldn't be surprised if he shows us next season just as a manager, he could also be very underrated.
Just to quickly run everybody through the fixtures, haven't done it. We're nearly at the end of the programme. Crusaders are away to Newry City. Glentoran at home to Ballymena United, as we've mentioned. Glenavon play Loughall and Coleraine against Dungannon Swifts. We talked about that with Scott Irvine on the programme. Those are the four games taking place in the Premiership. We know a couple of games have had to be moved back to Easter Tuesday, namely Carrick Rangers, Linfield and Cliftonville versus Larne because of under 21 call-ups. But Mark, before I ask you about international things, I do just want to ask you about the Championship. Portadown play Bangor later on at Shamrock Park, and things are so exciting, it seems, in the Championship this season. You've Dundella on 62, Bangor on 60, Portadown on 58, Stute on 55 alongside Anna. Take your pick as to who wants to finish where at this stage.
Yeah, look, the top of the Championship is utterly bonkers. It's brilliant, you know, for fans of those clubs. Like, it's going to be an absolutely sensational end of the season. You know, it's going to be exciting. I'm sure there's going to be plenty of twists and turns as well. You know, at one stage, you know, quite recently, it looked like Portadown were out of it. You know, they'd gone on a bit of a bad run, and now they've gone on a good run again. And I think just with the season they had, they will quietly fancy their chances of going up. And look, that's where Portadown have to be. But I think, like, the outstanding job that Lee Feeney is doing at Bangor can't go unnoticed. You know, it's just absolutely sensational where they've come from since he took over as manager. You know, they only came up, and now they're challenging. And again, I'm sure the people at Bangor will quietly fancy their chances of winning the league this year.
And that game could well be an indicator as to who is going to kick on in this big run to the end of the season. There's still time for plenty of drama between now and then, but just mindful of time, Mark. Northern Ireland, Romania later on, Northern Ireland's first international fixture of the year. They come into this off the back of their brilliant result against Denmark, not a brilliant qualifying campaign. However, how should we view this run of games, and how well set up are Northern Ireland for victory, do you think?
Look, it's difficult to tell. You know, the last game against Denmark obviously was a great performance and an even better result. But the sad thing is, you know, that was several months ago now. It's difficult with such a young squad. You don't overly know what you're going to get from one game to the next. And as a general rule, I don't like friendlies. I never have. I get that they serve a purpose for Michael O'Neill in terms of getting the squad together. I'm working on several things with them. That, of course, is vital. But when it comes to the actual performances, I think it's always difficult with friendlies. But, you know, from speaking to some of the players, you know, they certainly seem to be in a very positive frame of mind because, as you rightly said, they ended a disappointing campaign on a high. And I think they want to show that that was no flash in the pan. They want to show that, yes, they're young and they're inexperienced at international level, but they certainly have the quality to go and get results. And I think, you know, we've obviously got these two friendlies. We're probably going to have two in the summer as well, and then it's all eyes on the Nations League after that.
And Michael O'Neill last week in his press conference was saying, you know, this is a team in Romania and indeed Scotland next week who will be at the Euros. So this is arguably, well, would you even argue it? Maybe it's just a fact, better opposition than Northern Ireland are going to play in the Nations League. So he thinks, give ourselves a stern test and really see what we're made of.
Yeah, I think that's a fair comment. You know, and obviously we played a team who should be better than us in Denmark and did very well home and away. And look, history tells us that Northern Ireland always perform better when they're the underdogs. But look, it's all vital experience for these players. With so many young players in that squad. And I think, obviously, a good thing is having the likes of Stephen Davis in and around the squad now as part of Michael's backroom staff. And I don't think he can downplay the effect he has on those younger players as well, because, you know, they can just sort of chip into his brain and, you know, what he's gone through in his international career. And I think that'll be a big, big boost for Northern Ireland.
And Northern Ireland have not everybody back that they want, but Conor Bradley being back in the team, he's just a player that everyone can't get enough of at the moment because of how he's done with Liverpool. And I'm sure he's excited to be part of this Northern Ireland panel once again.
Yeah, and that's the big thing. When you speak to any of the younger lads, you know, the likes of Conor, Trey Hume, Shea Charles, Isaac Price, all these guys just couldn't wait to get back. into the international setup and being in and around the lads again. You know, there's a very sort of club feel about the Northern Ireland setup, which is a great thing. And look, we're all in awe of Conor Bradley. You know, what he's been able to do this season with Liverpool is nothing short of unbelievable almost. You know, he had a great year on loan at Bolton, but I don't think anyone seriously thought he would make the impact so quickly at Liverpool that he's made this season. And, you know, he's actually given Jurgen Klopp something to think about when Trent Alexander-Arnold is fit. And I don't think anyone could have foreseen that. He's been a joy to watch. You know, I would always say as well, I love the sort of the combative nature in his game as well. It's not just all about his quality on the ball. And he certainly showed us with, you know, his first goal for Liverpool against Chelsea a few weeks back that he actually knows where the net is as well. It was an unbelievable finish. He's just been a joy to watch, and Nolan Ireland are very, very lucky to have him.
Only two of the squad are over the age of 30, or 30, well, 30 or over, is the right way of saying it. George Savo's 30, Josh McInnes 33. So it does point to the amount of youth at Northern Ireland's disposal. Rather than viewing that as a negative, because people will at times, should we be therefore optimistic that, you know, the upcoming tournaments that are ahead, we can only get better?
Yeah, I think that's a fair comment. And look, with young players comes no fear. And that's always good in international football. And whilst a lot of them are young lads, they actually have decent enough experience now in international football. You know, Conor Bradley's going to be approaching 20 caps quite soon as well. You know, so whilst he's a very young player, there still is a bit of experience there. You look at someone even like Dan Bollard, who is still a young lad but has lots of experience at international level. There have been signs throughout even the last campaign, as disappointing as it was. You could see that those young players were growing into the role, growing into that sort of expectation. Because let's be honest, the Northern Ireland fans expect us to qualify for every tournament. That's not realistic, and it might be quite a while before that happens again. But I think having these friendlies now, having the friendlies in the summer, and look, let's be honest, the Nations League isn't something we've ever been successful in. So I think, yes, we want to do well in the Nations League. We want to get our record much better in that. But again, if we can just use that as a platform for those younger players to gain valuable experience, then it's all about the qualification campaign for the next major tournament.
So tonight, will you be in any way nervous if this game is, you know, level going into the end, or for you, or friendlies just a thing that happen and then eventually go away?
Look, the fan in me, of course, will get nervous because I want Northern Ireland to win every single game they play. But if Northern Ireland don't come out with a resounding victory in Bucharest, am I going to be annoyed all weekend? No, I'm not. And I don't think Michael O'Neill will necessarily be annoyed if it's not a positive result. I think he'll be looking for different things. He'll be looking for things they've worked on all week. He'll be looking, again, just that experience for the younger players, seeing how they're fitting in. And I think that's going to be the most important thing for Michael. But look, any fan wants results. So I want a win. And look, if we got a win in Bucharest, it just sets us up lovely going to Hamden for a bit of a local derby.
Yes, I think a lot of Northern Ireland fans are looking forward to linking up with friends and maybe even some family members in Scotland.
Totally. And that's, you know, that's what it's all about. And, you know, we've been lucky enough. We've been over to Hampden Park quite a few times in sort of recent times, in recent years. And they're always great occasions. And, you know, I think the Tartan Army are brilliant. And, you know, it's one of my favourite things is, you know, standing there and listening to Flower of Scotland before the game as well. You know, it's one of the great anthems in international football, in my opinion. There'll be a lot of colour around the game. There'll be a great atmosphere. And again, I think if you look at some of our players, you know, Conor Bradley will be going up against Andy Robertson. You know, Shea Charles will be going up against, you know, someone like maybe Stuart Armstrong or Ryan Fraser. I don't know if they're definitely in the squad or not. But, you know, so they'll be going against teammates, which doesn't happen very often in international football. So it gives the players something to really look forward to as well.
On Romania, they're on an 11-match unbeaten run. So I just thought I'd keep everybody on the ground there ahead of the game later on. Just
by the way, if Romania were the only country to beat us when we qualified for Euro 2016 as well. That was the only game in Bucharest when we lost in that campaign.
It was indeed. Very good callback. Just wanted to ask you very, very quickly, on the summer friendlies, have you any rumours? Northern Ireland fans are wanting to know what's happening.
Well, there's been a lot of talk about a game against Spain in Spain. I think that's been hinted at a couple of times. I wouldn't be surprised if that one did happen. Other than that, I haven't heard any other nations being mentioned. But my understanding has always been there would be two friendlies in the summer, and more than likely against countries going to the Euros. But from my understanding, again, I think both of those summer friendlies will be away from home.
Okay, Mark McIntosh, great catching up with you. Thank you so much for coming on to The Score.
All the best.
The Score with Michael Clark.
And just like that, we are completely out of time. Thank you so much to my guests for joining us this week, Mark McIntosh, Scott Irvine, and Declan Devine. And as ever, a massive thank you for listening. We'll be back next week to do it all again. But until then, all that remains to be said is enjoy your weekend of sport. Bye-bye.